75 years ago this month, March 1933, Heinrich Himmler announced the opening of the first concentration camp for political prisoners in the town of Dachau, Germany. It was the beginning of one of the most tragic chapters in modern history. At first, the prisoners were mostly opponents of the Nazi government, but by 1938, some 10,000 Jews were interned at Dachau. This is Dachau Song, composed by Viennese conductor Herbert Zipper and written by playwright Jura Seufer. Both were held at Dachau, where they organized secret concerts on Sundays. As in other Nazi concentration camps, the conditions were deplorable. Prisoners not only were used for forced labor, but for medical experiments by German doctors. Dachau was divided into two areas, the living quarters and the crematoria. Dachau Song spread from camp to camp and became a symbol of Nazi resistance. Between 1933 and 1945, more than 188,000 prisoners were held at Dachau. According to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, at least 28,000 died there, but many more unregistered prisoners were unaccounted for. On April 29, 1945, American forces liberated Dachau and its subcamps. One of the American soldiers was 19-year-old Jim Shields. He was with the 14th Armored Division, 19th Armored Infantry Battalion, Combat Command C. The division became known as the Liberators. They and several other units helped to free thousands of prisoners. Mr. Shields joins us from his home in Walpole, Massachusetts. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
What rank were you, 19 years old?
Yes, I was.
Uh-huh. What was your rank?
Private. I was a private. I was a runner for my company, my commander of my outfit.
Uh-huh. Can you take us back to that day? First of all, did you know what your orders were? What were your orders that day?
Well, we were just, if I remember correctly, we were told to just keep going till we reach Dachau. And when we reached Dachau, we had tanks with us, and they had were there before us and had knocked down the fence to the gate to the building going into Dachau. So we were like following right behind them, and we just got out and went onto the grounds and saw nothing but dead bodies and people that were very run down and ill-fed and sick and everything.
Mm.
And then when you went way down back, we also saw where all the bodies were. There was bodies outside, a bunch of ovens just waiting to be thrown into the ovens. And that was very, you can't imagine what went on inside that, in the compound there.
Were you freeing male prisoners, female prisoners, Jewish prisoners?
Yes, there were mostly all Jewish people in there.
And men and women?
Yes, there was men and women, and they were the most deplorable conditions you ever want to see. And the smell was something that you will never forget. The smell was just of bodies burning and decaying and everything else.
You lived in the town for 2 months after the liberation
yes,
of the camps.
Yes, after the war was over, I would talk to the people there, and they would say they'd never realized that Dachau existed, which was only 2 miles away from the town. And all I could ask him is, how could you not know it because it smells so bad all the way into town? And they always acknowledged they did not know it was there, and they never wanted to acknowledge it also.
Mm. You went back in 2006.
Yes. My son and I and his his son, my grandson.
We're going to speak to your son in just a minute. But I wanted to know, for your own reasons for going back, and why you wanted to go back and bring your son and grandson with you.
Well, I actually, my son is really, he was the one that got me going. And we never talked about my affiliations during the war. It was never discussed. And then all of a sudden, he asked me one day if I'd like to go back there. And the more I thought of it, I thought it was the greatest idea, and we found a tour, and actually we went to Paris, where I had gone after the war on a three-day pass, and we went to Bastogne, where the Battle of the Bulge was fought, and I was in that also, and then we went down to Dachau. That was a separate part of the tour we were on. We went there because I had been there. And so I thought it was a great idea. And after I went there, I'm telling you, I have been talking about that place. I probably will till I die. It was a wonderful trip, altogether different.
Yeah. Jim, let me talk to your son, Jim.
Yes.
Jr.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jim Shields, Jr.?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Very well. Listen, tell us how you got your dad to, first of all, talk about his experiences.
Well, I'd say about, you know, ever since he retired, you know, he's been reading a lot about World War II and, you know, is involved with the Legion and gets magazines and everything. And about 4 years ago, he, you know, he was talking about Europe and he goes, oh, I'd like to go back there someday. So, you know, about a year or two later, I arranged something. I said, hey, you want to go back and take a trip over there and go on a tour? And, you know, and he was, you know, definitely up for it. And we did that, and it turned out to be one of the best trips that we've ever done, you know.
Tell us a little bit about what it was like for you to go through the gates at Dachau.
Well, going over there is a very moving experience. You know, you get off, you get a park in the parking lot, and you get to walk about a couple hundred yards to get to this gate. And it's, you know, there's all kinds of signs and history. And when you get in there, there's memorials all over the place. And it's just a very quiet place. There's hundreds of people in there. You could hear a pin drop. It's a large compound. All the old barracks are not there anymore, but just the foundations exist. And they have a couple of replica barracks that were there just to give you the idea of what it looked like. It was it was hard to see all that stuff and just imagine what was going on there 60-something years ago.
Yeah, you didn't have to imagine. Your dad told you what he saw.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's you know, knowing that he was there was pretty it was pretty unique.
Yeah. Jim, put your dad back on the phone for a sec.
Sure.
Howdy.
Hey there. Jim, hang on a second because I want to introduce you to someone I'm going to talk to for just a bit. Because
okay.
We're going to move forward in time after American forces liberated the camps. It took many years, but those responsible for the atrocities at Dachau were eventually brought to trial. Both the defense team and the prosecution were American lawyers. In our New York bureau, we're joined by writer and producer Joshua Green. He's the author of Justice at Dachau. Welcome to the program, first of all.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about the American lawyers that brought this this case.
These were, for the most part, second tier in the sense that the celebrity lawyers had all been sent to Nuremberg. The Nuremberg trials opened just a week prior to the Dachau trials in November of 1945. They were, for the most part, the chief prosecutors and defense counsel were Southern gentlemen. They wore their flag and their religion proudly, God-fearing men, who saw what they were doing as quite a mission on both sides. It's quite a drama if you can think about what it was like to be told by the judge advocates that you fellows, you're going to have to defend Nazis because they're entitled to counsel, and you have to prosecute them.
Hmm. What happened at the end?
Well, at the it was predictable that an American tribunal would not find the people who ran Hitler's camps innocent of any of the alleged crimes. So there was a 100% conviction rate. However, the upshot of the Dachau trials is that their convictions were overturned in the following couple of years in a series of reversals and dismissal of sentences as a kind of olive branch to the then nascent new German Republic, America's priorities were changing. We no longer needed to punish the Germans, but rather win their allegiance in our common enemy, which was now the Soviet Union.
Amazing stories from both of you. I hope I have the chance to talk to you sometime in the future. Jim Shields, I want to thank you very much for your time and let people know that in 1945, he was a 19-year-old soldier with the 14th Armored Division. His division was one of the units that helped to free thousands of prisoners at Dachau. We also spoke to his son, Jim Shields Jr., and to Joshua Green. He's the author of the book Justice at Dachau, and he joined us from New York. Jim, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Joshua, thank you.
A pleasure, Leanne.